From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted to welcome to John Hannam Meets Daniel Casey. Nice to meet you, Daniel.
Nice to meet you too, John.
I've seen you on TV numerous times, but I've never seen you with a tash.
No, it's new to me as well. My wife is not a fan. Not a fan. Both my boys think it's a bit much. They don't like their goodnight kisses.
But it's a sort of fashion now, isn't it? Beards and moustaches.
Yeah,
and
it is. It is. Certainly, well, it certainly around Brighton, I fit in. London Bridge, it's all right. But other places, not. You get some funny looks.
And you're an Abigail's Party, which is coming to the Nuffield from the 11th to the 16th of February. That's the campus theatre. And this goes on a national podcast. So after our interview, when I do it, I'll mention the other gigs.
Oh, fantastic.
Follow Southampton. So you were the son of a journalist, Luke Casey, weren't you?
Yeah, I am the son of a journalist. Yeah.
Did you ever want to follow Dad? Because he did things like, I don't know, he did the Money Programme nationwide.
Yeah, he did. Well, my first television appearance was on the Money Programme.
Was it?
Yeah, I remember picking... Because Dad worked down in London during the week and came home at weekends up to Stockton. And so we'd pick him up from Darlington Station every weekend. And I remember one time him coming home and I was telling him all about, I'd opened a bank account and all the different things you got with it. And he said, oh, he said, would you like to do that for the programme? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd do that. And then not thinking anything of it. And then he said, oh, yeah, they'd love you to do it. So I did a little 5-minute piece about children's bank accounts when I was 11. Yeah, and I got 150 quid for it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was great.
Telling me.
Yeah, I was really pleased.
Did you ever think of going into a more serious side of the media or not really?
I don't know. I mean, at school I used to say, in careers, they'd say, what do you want to do? And I knew I wanted to be an actor, but I would always say, I'd like to be a journalist. And they say, oh, yeah, that's, well, Dad's a journalist. Oh, yes, well, you know all about that then. So it stopped that perennial conversation about, oh, it's very difficult to be an actor, you know, yeah, and all that stuff. So I kind of avoided that by doing that. But if I had done... I mean, I love Simon Reeve and all his travel programs. Mm. And that's the kind of thing I think I would like to have done, that type of journalism, really.
You were got a BA in English literature anyway, didn't you?
So that
was a good start.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I went off to Durham and did my degree in English. And I think partly I did that for Dad, because Dad never went to university. Dad came over from Ireland when he was 15. And he did his A-levels early when he was 17. He became a junior reporter on the Northern Echo at the age of 17. Yeah, and his first month he went to work in his school uniform because he couldn't afford to get anything else until he could afford to buy a suit, and worked his way up from there. And there's an archive thing now that they're releasing bits of Nationwide and things like that. And there are some snippets of Dad, and they're amazing to watch and hear his lovely Irish accent and see him as a young man. You know, it's great.
I used to know Cliff Michelmore because he was born on the Isle of Wight, where I come from, and he was sort of in all those huge programmes.
Well, Nationwide was amazing, wasn't it? It was fantastic. And then the Money Programme was great.
Yeah. When you did Dead Fish, that was an early tour for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my first tour. That was with Gordon Steele, who was my youth theatre director. I mean, I started going to youth theatre with Gordon when I was 15, and... When I was 18, I had a year out between university and college, and we took a Godba play, September in the Rain, up to Edinburgh. And then the following year, we took three plays up to Edinburgh, and we asked Godba to come and see September in the Rain. And he said, oh, no, it's a bit close to home because it's about my grandparents. If you do anything of your own, you know, I'll come and see it. So the following year, when we did Dead Fish, Gordon and I went and found him and said, oh, listen, you said you'd come and see it. Would you come?
Wow.
And he sent his wife, Jane, to see it. And we were getting standing ovations. And she said, oh, I'm going to get John to come and see it tomorrow. And he came and saw it the next day. We won a Fringe First Award up there with it. And then Godber wanted to do it. The Hampstead Theatre wanted to do it. And Godber got his agent in touch with Gordon. And Gordon was with that literary agent and got to direct it as well. And that was my first professional job.
Daniel, what were your dreams at that time? What did you envisage years ahead, if you could, you know?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I remember walking along the King's Road because we did 2 weeks at the Riverside Studios, and the tour had been amazing. But then we got to London, and I remember feeling very small, you know, because London's so huge and there's so much theatre going on in London, and thinking, gosh, what makes me think that you know, I'm going to be able to do this, you know, even though I was doing it. And then I got into the theatre, and that's my space, you know, that's where I feel the most at home and the most safe and the most comfortable. And I thought, oh no, this is great. And my agent had brought a casting director, Andy Pryor, to see the play. And then he got me in to see Simon Catherine Jones, who was the director of Our Friends in the North. And then the very next day, so I went to see him. And then 7 auditions later, I got the part of Anthony Cox.
That was a big breakthrough.
Huge.
And what a series, because it was a rather special series, wasn't it?
It's extraordinary. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a thing on the front of The Guardian. I looked through it, and it was the top 50 television series of all time. And The Sopranos was number one, and Our Friends in the North was number 2.
Gosh, there were some great actors. Yeah. I think Peter Vaughan was in that, wasn't
Peter
he?
Peter Vaughan. Well, do you know, Peter, I watched a rugby match with Peter Vaughan. It was the 95 Rugby World Cup, and it was South Africa playing. And I sat with him watching that. He said, the thing about these South Africans is they're not only big, they're very fast. And his lovely big eyes.
Oh,
and he's terrifying, you know. And I was like, oh, yes. And he held my hand, and I felt like such a little boy. Up to that point, in youth theatre, in, you know, at university, and then even on tour, really, you're now working with people who are the proper age for the character they're playing. And so you feel that natural distance between the two of you. And it was so lovely. I felt like a little boy beside a man with such experience. And he was so kind and lovely.
And I fell in love with Gina McKee, like lots of guys, actually.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, she's lovely. She's a gorgeous girl. She is, absolutely. Yeah. I saw her a couple of years ago, and she's fantastic. I mean, I walked into the rehearsal room, and Chris Eccleston stood straight up, came straight across, said, "All right, Dan, I'm Chris. Who's your team?" And I said, "Man United." He said, "Oh, good lad." So, but he's a United fan, a massive United fan. But really welcoming and lovely. And Mark Strong was fantastically lovely. And Daniel Craig was great. I mean, there's a funny story about Daniel Craig, because my wife, when it came on and everyone was, "Oh, he's so beautiful," and she never really got it. She said, "Oh, I don't really. We were in London, and we parked in Poland Street car park, and there was a car in front of us, and I got out of the car, and it was Daniel in the car in front. And I said, "Oh, hi, Dan." And he went, "Oh, hi." And he shook Ellie's hand. He said, "Hi, I'm Daniel." And literally her knees went weak. She went, "Oh, hello." It was hilarious. It's very funny.
A good friend of mine is Julian Wadham, who used to have a home on the Isle of Wight. And I loved him and the whole Wingless Bird. It was a Catherine Cookson, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a wonderful one. Yeah, the Catherine Cookson was amazing. It was really beautiful. Julian's fantastic, because he then came on to do a Midsummer as well.
Mm.
And he used to have a lovely house just off the Hogarth Roundabout as well. Lovely, lovely, lovely man. I loved working with him. And Claire Skinner was in that as well.
She was terrific. And, is terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, she is terrific. Yeah. And Anne Reid. And lovely Anne. I've kept in touch with Anne over the years as well. And I get little messages via different people who I'm working with sending me her love. And I saw her in Horsham. She was doing her one-woman show. I saw her a little while ago.
You did the Grand, Touch of Frost, Silent Witness, and then, of course, Midsummer, and you did about 30 of those, but you were in the very first series, weren't you?
Yeah.
Gavin Troy.
Yeah, Gavin Troy.
Everyone remembers Troy.
Everyone remembers Troy. They do. I mean, it's with such affection. I mean, I get letters even now, you know, from people, and I did a couple of talks last year to people, and they you know, people come from all over the world to come and see you and chat and... And it's amazing the affection he's held in. But it's such a beautiful series. It was amazing. And John and I had such a lovely relationship. I think he's the same age as my dad. And so there was that kind of father-son thing that on screen, but also off screen. I mean, I love him very much. And he's such a kind actor and a generous actor.
Mm.
And we had a lot of young actors come onto the set. And without any kind of pomp or fanfare or whatever, he'd give them tiny little tips, just camera technique or little things that, and just away from anyone's earshot, and I'd see him say something. And it was always a little thing that would always make someone better. But he's brilliant.
I've interviewed him 2 or 3 times, and he's very caring.
Yeah,
once I got delayed, and he waited, and he didn't complain I was late. He just said, "Come in," you know.
Yeah.
Lovely.
No, he's a lovely man.
Yeah. They sort of soften the character from the books, to some extent, Daniel, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that. Well, in the books, he was in his mid-30s. He was married unhappily with 2 brattish children. He was, you know, he wore a long black trench coat and jack boots. he still had his prejudices, but he was a much harsher character in a book. I think on screen, that would be much more difficult to play, especially in a series. The murders are very violent and there's lots of darkness within Midsommar. But I think what they liked about me when I walked in was that freshness and youthfulness. And I think you get away with a lot of stuff through a naive attitude to the world. I think he has a small world view, and that's gradually broadened by his relationship with Barnaby, I think.
There can't be many people left in the...
No, gosh. I mean, the amount of psychotic pensioners in that part of the world is quite astonishing, isn't it?
I read somewhere that you had a favourite murder.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Death by drinks cabinet.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think what a way to go. But there were two things, really. One, it's just a hilarious thing that we're standing there and a man opens the drinks cabinet to take a drink and it falls on top of him, kills him. Hilarious. But also, the stunt team had never done anything like that before. So they didn't know whether it was doable. So the stuntman had to jump inside the cabinet, and it was a proper huge thing as it fell, and you couldn't practice it, so they just had to see, you know. And so it fell, and a load of dust flew up, and we all stood aghast. And then we heard... And he was knocking from inside. It was brilliant. It just worked really well.
You're the first person, Daniel, I've ever interviewed to be in the three big soaps.
Yeah.
Because you've been all three.
I have been in all three, yeah.
Coronation Street, you were... Was it Tom Finley?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a fairly small role. It was only about five episodes.
Yeah, it was one of those... Well, it was... They offered it. It was over Christmas. And it was to do a little stint with my lovely friend Jane Danson, who I'd worked with on The Grand. And I stayed with her and her husband, Rob, which is lovely. And so it was a lovely job, that one, actually. It was really nice. And you never know with those things. Sometimes you go in and they see a little spark and they can write you more stuff, and sometimes they don't. And it was... it was a nice little one, that one.
Nosebleed Man?
No, well, actually, I think you'll find he was called...
Tom Bailey, was it?
Yeah, Tom Bailey, yeah. And that was great, actually. That was really lovely. Working with Jenna was gorgeous. Jenna Russell, who played Michelle. And it's nice to play a dark character, you know, a stalker, someone who's there, who's obviously got problems in his life and fixes his attention on one woman and sees her as the saviour of his problems, you know.
Did they tease you on EastEnders about being in Coronation Street?
No,
or nothing
no,
was said
no,
at all?
No, no,
is there a rivalry, do you think, or not really?
Maybe gentle, but not much, really. Not much. I mean, I have to say, all three of the soaps, I mean, the people who, all the actors, all the crews who work in them are fantastic, actually. Really, really welcoming and really friendly.
Because you did Emmerdale last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I did do Emmerdale last year. Yeah, that was fun as well, playing a crook. Playing a dodgy bloke with a beard, which was, that was really fun, really fun. And I've got some lovely friends up there as well. So it was nice to work with Duncan Preston again and Liz Estensen, who knew my dad from years and years ago, because she's from Stockton. She's from where I'm from.
Yeah.
And so it was really nice. Yeah, it was lovely.
All good experience, three huge soaps.
But yeah, brilliant experience, yeah.
Tell us about your family. You've got a couple of children, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've got my two boys and my lovely wife. My wife is a flower farmer.
Is she?
Yeah.
Do you still live in Sussex or
we
not?
We do, yeah.
Do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we do. And so she's just started her business this year, and it's an amazing business. It's she's done really, really well selling it. She does the floristry as well, so she grows everything herself and does all the floristry and sells it Lewis Farmers Market and
Lewis Shoreham, is lovely.
Yeah, Shoreham Artisan Market and some farm shops around the area as well. So yeah, she's done very well.
Do you still support Middlesbrough?
Yeah, they're one of my teams. As I told you before,
I'm
a Man United fan. I've been a Man United fan since Man United weren't doing very well when Brian Robson was there. And I mean, they were doing all right, but they weren't like the Liverpool with the team. So I decided to follow Man United, because my Uncle Ray loved Man United.
Did he?
Yeah, and he followed the Busby Babes, so he told me all about them. So that's the reason why I started following United.
One of the great moments of my sort of interview and career was one day I had a live show, and in my car I looked in the mirror, and on the back seat with George Best and Rodney Marsh, you know.
Wow.
It's one of those days you think, this is rather a special day.
That is a special day. I saw George Best once. on the King's Road, in the pub on the King's Road, and, yeah. and my friend who was said, "Oh, go and say hello," and I couldn't. I said, "No, he's happy. I'd leave him to it." But he's one of my real heroes.
Well, the real reason I'm here, I love talking about careers, but is Abigail's Party, which yeah. obviously you're currently playing in. You've only been going for about a week, but yeah. there's a biggish tour coming up, isn't
there? Yeah, there is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're off all around the country, and. Yeah, it's a fantastic play. I mean, Mike Lee is a genius, isn't he? I mean, he's an icon of theatre and film, and it's such a joy to be able to play one of the characters in one of his most iconic pieces of work. It's incredible.
So you're really enjoying it, obviously.
I'm loving it. I mean, one of the beautiful things is Lawrence, the character I play, Beverly's husband Lawrence, in the film, and usually is shorter, as you commented before. I'm quite tall. I'm 6 foot
you
two.
You are, yeah.
And when I met Tara Estale, the director, she wanted me for the part, and then she was talking to Mike about it, and she said, "Oh, I'm struggling because, you know, he's tall." And he said, "Well, I'll rewrite that bit." And so he's rewritten the little bit about where she compares Tony to Lawrence. And that feels to me incredibly special. What a moment in my career that you know, so Mike Lee was prepared to rewrite something so that I could play this part. I mean, that's fantastic.
I'll be let you go. You've got a show to do
in a minute. I've got a show to do in a minute, yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it today. So.
Oh, brilliant.
Daniel, can I wish your career continued success? I've enjoyed what you've done so far, and I know there's lots to come. So.
Oh, thank you so much. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannemade. That's right.
Grateful thanks to Daniel Casey. After the Southampton Nuffield from the 11th to the 16th of February, Abigail's Party moves on to the Regent Stoke, the New Victoria Woking, the Royal and Derngate Northampton, the Grand Blackpool, Waterside Aylesbury, Everyman and Playhouse Liverpool, Orchard Dartford, Opera House Manchester, and finally the King's Edinburgh. Sometimes it seems a very small world. Actually, when I got to the Theatre Royal at Brighton, where I did the interviews with two of the cast of Abigail's Party, I met their very helpful company manager, a guy called Simon Dodson. And he knew I lived on the Isle of Wight, and he said, "I also live on the Isle of Wight." I said, "Where?" And he said, "Merston, which is about 2 miles from me at Godshill." There you go. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.